Om Vishnupat Paramahansa Parabrahma Jagacharya Astatu Satasi Simatis Divine Grace Sila Abhe Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prince Kahosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Gangamai Yamunamai ki jai Bhakti Devi Chulasi Devi ki jai Harinam Sankirtan ki jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Garanga Hare Krishna.
Your good name again? Yes. Radha Kunda
Prabhu, yes, I remember. 2 years back, 3 years back, Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to see you all after a long time. And we have today Gita Jayanti, the sacred day where the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, and we will read in a little while a wonderful verse about this, but let me make sure that I'm loud enough. Yes, now it's better, now you can listen. One moment, I just need to find the text and then we can start.
Anywhere here, December 2, New York Times headlines, New York City hospitals report marked rise in LSD cases admitted for care. People take more drugs. Protest against U.S. participation in Vietnam War mounts. The weather grew cold, but there was no snow in December. On Columbus Avenue, shops were selling Christmas trees, and the Continental restaurants were bright with holiday light thing. On 72nd, the Retailers Association erected tall red poles topped with green tinsel Christmas trees. The tops of the trees on both sides of the street sprouted tinsel garlands that spanned the street and joined in red tinsel stars surrounded by colored lights. Although Srila Prabhupada did no Christmas shopping, he visited many bookstores, Orientalis, Sunvisors, Doubledays, The Paragon and others, trying to sell his Srimad Bhagavatam. Mrs. Ferber, the wife of the Paragon Book Gallery proprietor, considered Prabhupada a pleasant and extremely polite small gentleman. The first time he called, she wasn't interested in his books, but he tried again and she took several volumes. Prabhupada used to stop by about once a week, and since his books were selling regularly, he would collect. Sometimes, when he needed copies to sell personally, he would come by and pick them up from Mrs. Ferber, and sometimes he would phone to ask her how his books were selling. Mrs. Ferber, every time he came, he would ask for a glass of water. If a customer would make such a request, I would ordinarily say, "There is the water cooler." But because he was an old man, I couldn't tell him that, of course. He was very polite always, very modest, and a great scholar. So whenever he would ask, I would fetch him a cup of water personally. Once Prabhupada was talking with Mrs. Ferber about Indian cuisine, and she mentioned that she especially liked samosas. The next time he paid her a visit, he brought a tray of samosas, which she enjoyed. Harvey Kuhn came often to room 501 to visit the Swami who had so impressed him at Ananda Ashram. Harvey, the room he occupied was a tiny office in the back of the Yoga Society in Uptown Manhattan. I began to go there regularly, and we sat facing each other on the floor in this little office with his typewriter and a new tape recorder on top of two suitcases. And there was a box of books he had brought from India and a color reproduction of dancing figures which he looked at often. I told Swami Bhaktivedanta that I was an artist, and he asked me to please paint the picture of the dancers, which he explained was of Lord Chaitanya and his disciples. The painting was called Sankirtan. Whenever I came to visit him, Swami would always be happy to see me. I told him about myself, and we chanted Hare Krishna together in his room many nights that winter. I would get the train uptown from my apartment to go see him. January 11th. Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri died of a heart attack while visiting Russia. The Prime Minister had been a personal acquaintance of Srila Prabhupada's in India and an admirer of his Srimad Bhagavatam translation. He had been scheduled to visit America, and Prabhupada had expected to obtain a personal sanction from him for the release of funds from India. His untimely death was a great upset in Srila Prabhupada's plan to purchase the building at 140th Street, West 72nd Street. The realtors, that means agents, had shown him the building, and he had already mentally designed the interior for deity worship and distribution of prasadam. The money was to come from India, and Prime Minister Shastri was to give personal sanction for release of the funds. But suddenly, that was all changed. Prabhupada decided to write to the owner of the building, Mr. A.M. Hartman. He explained how his plans had been upset, and he posed a new plan. This is now the letter. Now Prime Minister Mr. Lal Bahadur Shastri is suddenly dead, and I am greatly perplexed. And there is no great difficulty for getting money from India. I am requesting you to allow me to use the place for the International Institution for God Consciousness, at least for some time. The house is lying vacant for so many days without any use, and I learned it that you are paying the taxes, insurance and other charges for the house, although you have no income from there. If you, however, allow this place for this public institution, you shall at least save the taxes and other charges which you are paying now for nothing. If I can start the institution immediately, certainly I shall be able to get sympathy locally, and in that case I may not be required to get money from India. I'm also requesting you that your honor become one of the directors of this public institution, because you will have a place to start the institution. A.M. Hartman was not interested. It's interesting, huh? Prabhupada originally proposed to buy the house from Mr. Hartman, but when he saw that no funds from India would likely come because of the death of the president who was to sanction the transfer of the funds, then Prabhupada changed his plan and he just said, give me your building please for free. I will use it for and the International Institution for God Consciousness. That was his name at that time for ISKCON. And you can save the taxes, and you must become one of the directors of this public institution. Hare Krishna. On the same day, Prabhupada wrote Mr. Hartman, Prabhupada received a letter from Sir Padampad Singhania, the director of the very large J.K. organization in India. Prabhupada had written Sir Padampadji for financial support, and his reply gave him hope. Not only was the Singhania family fabulously wealthy, but its members were devotees of Lord Krishna. Here's the answer. My dear Swamiji, I have gone through your letter. I am very glad to note your idea of erecting a Sri Radha Krishna temple in New York. I think the proposal is a good one, but the following are the difficulties. First, we have got to send foreign exchange for building the temple, for which government sanction is required. Without the government sanction, no money can be sent abroad. If the government of India agrees, then one can think of erecting the temple in New York. Second, I doubt whether with this small amount of rupees 7 lakhs, that is 110,000 dollars, a temple can be built in New York. I mean to carry out a nice construction with Indian type of architecture. To get a temple completed in Indian type of architecture, we have to send a man from India. These are the two main difficulties, otherwise your idea is very good. Srila Prabhupada and Mr. Singhania had a basic disagreement. A magnificent Indian temple in New York would cost many millions of dollars to construct. Prabhupada knew, of course, that if Parampat Singhania wanted, he could provide millions of dollars. But then how would they get so much money out of India? Prabhupada therefore again suggested that they spend only 7 lakhs. After purchasing the house, he wrote, "We can build another story upon it with a temple dome, chakra, etc." Prabhupada had his own line of reasoning. So now he will say, Prabhupada will say, why he says we should build a simple temple. And there's a very transcendental the reasoning. Lord Dwarakadish exhibited his opulence at Dwaraka with 16,000 queens, and it is understood that he built a palace for each and every queen. And the palaces were made with jewels and stones, so that there was no necessity for artificial light in the palaces. So your conception of building a temple of Lord Krishna is in opulence. But we are residents of Vrindavan, and Vrindavan has no palaces like your Dwarka. Vrindavan is full of forests and cows on the bank of the Jamuna. And Lord Krishna, in his childhood, played the part of a cowherd boy without any royal opulence, as you people, the inhabitants of Dwarka, are accustomed. So when the Dwarka Valas meet the Vrindavan Valas, there may be a via media. You understand his logic? He said, we are from Vrindavan, where Krishna is a cowherd boy walking with his cows on the Yamuna. Very simple. No need to have so much opulence. With Sir Parampat's Dwarka-like wealth and Srila Prabhupada's Vrindavan-like devotion, Lord Krishna, the Lord of both Vrindavan and Dwaraka, could be properly worshipped. Okay. Hare Krishna. Just like many Mumbai people can constantly be called on their mobile phones, we are constantly called by Maya. Come, come, forget Krishna. Jump into Maya. Constantly we have an inbuilt phone call receiver in our heart. The Maya has a direct line. Come, come. Even in the temple, she will come. Ring, ring, ring. Think of Maya. Our mobile phone station is in our heart, and Maya has direct contact every second of the day. Hare Krishna. You have to surrender. It's so endearing to read this, huh? How Srila Prabhupada was so extremely active in the service of Prabhupada, of Krishna. So now, Braj Bihariji, you have to tell me, today's Gita Jayanti, that I prepared something on Gita Jayanti, should I talk? And do we, what is our time limitation? We will see. Yeah. Not too long, but not no worry at this moment. So good. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Let us read a verse from the first canto, 15th chapter, text 27, where Srila Prabhupada very, very nice description about the Bhagavad Gita can be found. You must be knowing there was a very interesting episode. Yudhishthira Maharaj felt when he was ruling that it would be nice to make contact with Lord Krishna and find out what are his further plans so that we can assist our Lord. So he sent Arjuna to Dwaraka as his messenger to find out about Krishna's future plans. Arjuna came back from Dwaraka with the most devastating news. Yudhishthira had expected to hear Lord Krishna's blissful plans, but what he heard from Arjuna was so devastating. He heard that the Lord has left the planet. Arjuna was grief-stricken. Arjuna had tears in his lotus eyes. He said that when he was walking back from Dwaraka with this news that Krishna had left, everything was gloomy. Arjuna had visited some temples, and do you know what he saw? He saw that the deities had walked off the altar. Imagine Radha Rasa Bihari walking off the altar. We are going. It's Kali Yuga. The same Arjuna who was so extremely powerful that his arrows could defeat the powerful army of the Trigatas, which had many, many thousands of soldiers. Do you know what happened to Arjuna? He felt so weak that a few thieves had been able to overwhelm him when he was trying to bring the queens of Krishna to Hastinapur. Arjuna was totally grief-stricken. The main reason was that Krishna had left him. And in his grief-stricken mood, he spoke a verse to Yudhishthira, which I want to read to you. A verse which celebrates the Bhagavad Gita and the tremendous potency of the Gita. But I must tell you, when the Pandavas had heard that Krishna had left, they found not half a sesame seed of determination to continue their life in this world. They left for the Himalayan mountains. They went to Padarikashrama, and from there further in the Himalayas, from where they went home back to Godhead. Anyways, when Arjuna was so powerfully in grief-stricken, when he was crying, he remembered his only solace. And I will read this verse to you. It will be a verse which might also help you when you are in a state of disorientation. If you understand this verse properly on Gita Jayanti Day, I think you will have the tool to solve all your problems, because Arjuna will now tell you his secret for solving the burning heart problem. Are you interested, or is this totally irrelevant for you? There is some interest. Good. Deshakalata yuktani vittapo pashamani cha haranti smaratas chetam govinda pihitani me. Now, I'm attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Purport. Herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast literature of the Vedas, like the Upanishads, Puranas and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face from being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. Hare Krishna. At this moment in our lives, we can reflect on the many different changes which happen, some of them pleasant, some of them full of challenges, and some totally unpleasant and perplexing. There will, for instance, be a change in the presidency of our Juhu temple. This will bring with it, like in all Indian temples, some maneuvering and some aspiring for the position of the president, which will be not always extremely pleasant. Changes are to be expected. There are other things in our lives. We might get sick, or we might get married, Or we might have to go for dental operation, which is a painful experience. Changes are bound to come. And at this time of changes, where we feel some unsettling of our minds, we are directed by Arjuna to come and go to the pain-relieving instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. I remember personally in my life, I had to go for a major operation with full anesthesia. And before that, I had read this verse where Arjuna says, if you have burning heart, read the instructions of Govinda, read the Bhagavad Gita. So before entering the hospital and the surgical operation theater, I followed an advice of Prabhupada to read the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Because when you read the second chapter, you can easily understand. Good morning, welcome. Please have darshan. When you read the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, you can very easily understand that you have nothing to do with the body and with the mind. That you are transcendental, you are part of Krishna. It is very clear. So we will talk today a little bit on the Bhagavad Gita and how to apply the Bhagavad Gita in our lives as devotee. Today is the day where the Gita was spoken, so we hope with our little lecture to make all of you enthusiastic readers of the Bhagavad Gita. Even those of you who have stopped reading the Bhagavad Gita because you think you are older devotees. Everyone should be now listening very carefully to hear this wonderful katha on the glories of the Gita, which will help us to apply and connect with the Gita. Let us first offer our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Lohulavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastachari Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Govaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Wonderful. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, which I will further quote to you, has said that through a certain agency, the Lord can manifest. And he brings this point so that we can receive the Lord within our heart. Do you, Hare Krishna? You look so sad in the corner. Do you want the Lord to manifest in your life? Have you ever thought about this? I feel most of the devotees who are in our movement for some time have thought, well, Maharaj, to request the Lord to appear in my life is very unrealistic. I just go through my days from one event to the next. I will not expect much more of my spiritual life than some prasadam and maybe some understanding of the devotees when I do a mistake. This is all I expect really. But to expect the Lord to appear in my life, come on. I believed this when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, but now I have become a realist. This is not happening. And then we look sad in the corner because we feel my life or this lecture will not be something special. I will just survive this lecture somehow out of routine. And then when I have survived the lecture, I will eat prasadam and do my real life and have my little entertainment at home, my ISKCON video production, and this is my life, life of an ordinary conditioned soul who has his hopes frustrated for spiritual experience. You should not think like this. You should be thirsty for Krishna. You should call out for Krishna. Then Krishna will manifest in your heart. Baladev Vidyabhushana, he says, thirst. This means Krishna consciousness. If you have thirst, then the Lord manifests through certain agencies. And please listen now what these urgent agencies can be. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned Hare Krishna devotee. But by the inconceivable power of the Lord, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. The Lord can manifest himself through his energy, and now Prabhupada will make it very clear. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord is also the incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. Raj Bihari, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you can be like Arjuna, who is in the personal presence of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord can manifest himself. Our enthusiastic Medanga player, this would be the perfection of your life. You would be totally inspired in your spiritual life if you feel the dying. Prabhupada says the Bhagavad Gita discusses Ishvara, that is the Supreme Lord, and Jiva. I will read you a verse from the Bhagavad Gita on the 15th chapter, verse number 16, where the Lord explains Ishvara and Jiva. He says, there are two classes of beings. The fallible, that's us, who constantly fall to death. We fall into the jaws of death. And the infallible, that's the eternal Lord. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. It means Krishna does not yet talk about himself. He talks about two living beings, one fallible and one infallible in the spiritual world. And then he says, besides these two jivas, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. So that's the Lord, the highest being. Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita about Bhagavan and Bhakta, or Ishvara and the Jiva. He also talks about the Prakriti, that is the material nature, but he also talks about the Para Prakriti, that is the spiritual nature. He gives an analogy. He says the spiritual world. No, he talks. He starts with the material world. The material world is like a banyan tree, which is reflected on water, and the spiritual world is like the original manifestation of the banyan tree, the reality. It's a very wonderful example. Let us take for a moment not a banyan tree but an apple tree, so that we can understand the example. Let us say here is a lake, yes, and here is an apple tree with nice apples. So this apple tree will appear also in a reflection like this in the lake. The apple tree has real fruits. The reflected apple tree has false fruits. If you want to eat fruits, you have to come to the real apple tree. But if you take your fruits from the reflected tree, the tree in the water, you will only become wet. That's all. You cannot enjoy the reflected apples. In the same way, you have to go to the spiritual manifestation by taking care that you cut the false tree, the reflected tree of your material existence, and go to the reality where you can enjoy the fruits of love of Godhead. Krishna talks like this. Then Krishna talks about Kala, that is time in the material world, which changes everything. And he also indicates the spiritual world, which he describes as changeless. There is no influence of time. And he talks about karma, that is activities which bind you in the world. And then he talks also about Krishna karma, devotional service, that is activity which liberate you from the world. These are the five subjects of the Bhagavad Gita. Let us repeat for all of you who have slept during this, or you who were not attentive, or who have forgotten. He talks about Ishvara and Jiva, or Bhagavan and the Bhakta. He talks about Prakriti, that is the two types of Prakriti, the material manifestation and the Para Prakriti, the spiritual reality. He talks about Kala, that is time which changes everything, and about the eternal time in the spiritual world, and he, where nothing is bound to change, and he talks about karma, that is materially motivated activities, but he also talks about those activities of bhakti, which he summarizes in the most important verse of the Gita. Who knows what is the most important verse of the Gita? Yes? Savanamam parijaja mamekam charanam varja aham tan sava pavibhyo moksha yishyami mastucha. Is this wrong or right? It's wrong. You have made a mistake early in the morning on Gita Jayanti. This is a scandal in Mumbai. The most important verse of the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna repeats 2 times. Manmana bhava matvakto majjajiman namaskuru mam vivaisya satyam te patijane priyosime. Is this wrong or right? Really? It's Gita Jayanti. We cannot allow ourselves to make mistakes in the Gita today. I would say there are many most important verses. Hare Krishna. In this way, you are also right, my dear gentlemen. It was not a scare. You have not made a mistake. Your day is saved. I just want to wake up my sleepy Hare Krishna audience. This is what happens if you request Sachinandan Swami to give a lecture. I want you to think. we can say the key verse in the Bhagavad Gita, and in this way we can say the most important verse, is really Manmana Bhava Matrakto. because it is repeated 2 times, and it appears very strategically placed in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. That's nine, in the end of the 9th chapter. The Bhagavad Gita has how many chapters? 18. Good. 18 chapters. It has 18 chapters. That means the middle is at the end of the 9th chapter, the last verse of the 9th chapter. There Krishna brings this verse, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says this verse is a key which opens the heart of Lord Krishna. This verse tells us 4 instructions which will, if you follow them, you will open the heart of Lord Krishna, and the love of Krishna will pour on your whole being. Manmana, always think of Krishna. Bhava mat bhakto, get into the bhava. Bhava means feeling of Krishna's devotee. Yeah? That means become Krishna's servant, Krishna's bhakta. Majajiman, do worship of Krishna. Worship him in some ways and offer your obeisances to Krishna. My dear devotees and dear skeptics of the Hare Krishna movement, please write these 4 instructions on a piece of paper. Best you write them in your heart and do them every day, and you will see your life changes. think of Krishna every day. Do some service for Krishna every day. Worship Krishna. You may say, I'm not initiated, I cannot worship Radha Rasa Bihari. You can offer a stick of incense to your picture in your home. Worship, do something where you in worship to Krishna. Or take part in the worship of Radha Rasa Bihari by coming for the morning greeting and praying to them. Worship them and offer your obeisances. Now, my dear devotees, what is the most important part in offering obeisances? Well, it's to kneel down.
Bow down.
Bow down. There are two types of obeisances. One is half, and the other is shashtanga. It's very interesting. In both types of obeisances, one bodily part is the most important part to bring down. The forehead, yes, the forehead is a bone, a piece of bone. Is Krishna interested in bones? Very interesting, huh? So if the bone of your forehead can't be the most important part of bowing down, it is the heart. You have said the correct thing. Thank you very much. It is the mind. Mind, mind means heart. It is described in the Vaishnava Smriti that when you pay your obeisances, the mind is the most important thing, and we are encouraged to, in our minds, fall flat on the floor and put our head on the lotus feet of the Lord in meditation. This is not, obeisance is not an activity of bones, muscles and skin. It is primarily an activity of the mind. So if you follow these four instructions of Lord Krishna or heart, your life will be successful. Please write these down on Gita Jayanti Day. You have the key to Lord Krishna's heart. Krishna is giving this key to you. And Arjuna is describing how someone who feels attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead will relieve the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Like Arjuna, who remembered the wonderful instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, you can also become an active student of Bhagavad Gita and follow these instructions and feel elevated and uplifted. You see, there is one problem with institutionalized spirituality. It tends to become an automatic affair where you do everything regularly, and because you do something regularly, the mind switches off. This is the activity of the mind. It's a natural mechanism of the mind. It's also useful sometimes. Do you know, when you go in a room, I want to give you an example. If you go to a room and there is a very loud Indian clock which ticks too loud, tick, 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 and you want to rest, but it goes tick, 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 tick. You become, after some time, very much agitated, you can't sleep. I'm like this when I have these clocks. I have to put them, lock them away in some cupboard and put blankets around them because they're such loud clocks. But normally what happens, it goes tick, 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 tick. It disturbs you for some time, but then the mind, in order to save you, switches off and you can tolerate it. Or in marriages, the man is coming from the work and his wife, who was alone for the whole day, has just waited for this, and the man, she will now tell him and relieve her burning heart, the neighbor said so-and-so, and so-and-so called, and blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, I'm in the sannyas ashram. Blah, 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 blah. And then the man wants to read his newspaper. So he goes like this. And he wants to concentrate. And after some time, his mind switches off and he says, "Yes, dear." After 5 minutes, "You're so correct, dear." His mind is not listening. His mind has switched off. Or, you know, in Germany we have a temple next to a train line. And every night the train comes 10 times. And, you know, the first time you hear it, you just it's coming by. And then another. And you sit in your bed, you go like, "Ah, oh, what's this?" And you are right under the ceiling from all this. But after it has happened 5 times, the mind switches off and you can sleep. This is the function of the mind. But there is something which happens again and again in order to protect us so that we do not become crazy. The mind switches off. Unfortunately, it does so also in the Bhagavatam class. Or when we chant Hare Krishna, we have heard it already. Or we are coming to the temple, we have been there so many times, our mind switches off. It's not there. This is what happens when we are in institutionalized practices. That means when we do everything again and again and again. Does this mean we should stop doing the activities? We should stop chanting Hare Krishna? It means we have to do something to bring our mind back from where it wandered. You agree? Your mind was in the corner, in the dark corner, so I helped you to bring it back with a deep intention. Yes, you must listen. It's important. So this is, my dear devotees, so important to bring our mind to what we are doing. At the Gita Jayanti day, I want to confess to you that I was reading the Bhagavad Gita 10 times when I was a young devotee, because I was translating the Gita from English into German. And I, then after this, I stopped reading the Gita because I felt, I've edited the book, I've read it, I've translated it. It mounts, when you translate a book, you go about through the subjects like 10 times. But then, later, I discovered that I had made an offense to the Bhagavad Gita. I had just done what is done ordinarily, that is, when you know something, you switch it off, the mind off. And I had bereft myself of the opportunity to directly have Krishna speak to me and manifest in my heart. On this Gita Jayanti day, I wish all of you to not allow that your mind switches off from the Bhagavad Gita. I wish all of you that you regularly read in the Bhagavad Gita over and over again, and you will discover new and new treasures in the Bhagavad Gita. Especially today, before going to bed, it's Gita Jayanti, or if you have some time during the day, please find 5, 10, 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, as long as you have, and study the Bhagavad Gita. It's very important. Don't allow your mind to cut you off from the spiritual subject matter of the Gita. Hare Krishna, I want to thank you very, very much. Please excuse me if I have spoken too temperamental. I'm usually trying to be polite and kind, but when I come into a temple, I always feel the subject matters of Krishna consciousness are so good, and I always want you to listen, so I do some express things sometimes in ways as to make you nervous and unsettled, so that the mind is there and you are attentive to the subject. But please forgive me if I have disturbed some of you. Thank you very, very much. On this Gita Jayanti day, we should also, if it's possible, give a Bhagavad Gita away to some person. It's very good. Each one of you try to find a person you can give a present of the Bhagavad Gita. Maybe your neighbor. Today I will give a Gita to my doctor who treats me. Just be a little creative. Who can get a Bhagavad Gita today from you? There are guests coming today to the Bhagavad, to the temple. We might even have some Gitas at the deities, maybe at the altar. And when people take darshan, we can tell them, did you know it's Gita Jayanti? Did you already have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita in this very extraordinary translation of Srila Prabhupada? And maybe people feel it's fine. Oh no, thank you for telling me. Can I have one? Yes, so we can direct them to the bookstore. It's a good day to serve the Bhagavad Gita by distributing it. I want to end here. Thank you very much. Are there some... Welcome. Hare Krishna. Please take that time. Are there questions? Yes, Radha Kund Prabhu.
You know, the sincerity that you're trying to express is something that's very valuable to the devotee.
Prabhu, most senior devotee, he asks for the benefit of all of us, how can we become infused with this burning desire to always remember Krishna and not forget him? I can only give you my personal answer. But there may be more valuable answers. One answer is we have to realize where we are. We are in the ocean of birth and death, and we need Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called out, Ayinanda Tanuya, my Lord, I have somehow fallen away from you into the raging ocean. Now please take me out. This is one meditation, and Radha Kund Prabhu and others, I had this experience 8 months ago. I was preaching on an island next to Africa, and it was so hot, so that I was feeling so tired, so I entered the ocean, and the ocean took me with a powerful current and sucked me out into the high sea. The waves were becoming higher and higher, and soon began to dunk me under water. That time I felt highly afraid. I wanted to die in Vrindavan on in the dust of Braj, surrounded by many devotees who would chant Hare Krishna in my dying ear. Now I was drowning in the Atlantic Ocean like an ordinary German tourist. What a bad death. So I must say, I was totally overwhelmed at the beginning. I was afraid and very angry that I was now, this is the inglorious death of an inglorious soul called Sachinanand Swami, who tried to serve but then drowned like a German tourist. So then I started to really sincerely pray to Lord Krishna. Please, my dear Lord, if this is the time that you want me to die, I will gladly accept it if it is your desire, but please let me die not in a fearful mood or angry mood. Let me die in Krishna consciousness. And then afterwards I prayed, and by the way, if you see there is a way out, you have to give me the strength and the intelligence to understand what to do now, because it was going out. And Krishna really miraculously saved me. I must really say, he sent waves and he gave the intelligence that I should swim with the waves which went over the current. The current was going like this, the waves were rolling over it, and I was swimming as long as I could. And then when the waves had overtaken me, I again was in the current, and I didn't fight. I again was brought out into the ocean. So I went 30 meters to the coast, 12 meters back into the ocean, forward, backward, to and fro from the coast. I didn't have any feeling that I was moving, because it was going shim, shim. The waves were going to the coast and brought which Krishna had. It was Krishna's waves. This is the only way I can explain it. But finally, after fighting for almost an hour for life, I came on the beach, and I remember I was so weak. I fell down, vomited water, maybe 2 tons of water, but then the real panic started. I noticed I had not come out of the ocean. I was still in the midst of the ocean. I had escaped the insignificant puddle of water called the Atlantic Ocean, but I was still in the ocean of samsara, the ocean of repeated birth and death. Then I started to pray for the first time in my life. Please, my dear Lord, now I understand. I'm pushed around by your powerful prakriti, material energy, and I don't even see it, because my mind is already prakriti. It's material, it cannot perceive that this is unnatural. I think it is perfectly natural to be in the world. Please save me from this illusion. So I think this is the first stage. When a devotee wakes up to the reality, I need help. I'm in a problematic situation. The second is, is a very important meditation as well. The second is we must hear about Krishna and allow our minds to become attracted. Hey, wait a minute! This is wonderful! And for this, we may have to look for advanced association in our lives. We may have to go to the therapeutic devotees of Lord Krishna. Or we may have to read, or we may have to spend some extra time with the holy name. How to become attracted to the holy name? Sometimes we have to spend extra time with him. For instance, I must tell you an example. I hope he is not angry with me. Brajahari Prabhu is a devotee who is extremely sympathetic to my heart, because I met him on a pilgrimage to Bararikashram. Brajahari. He sat on a mule. Mule is like a donkey, mounted, and it was dressed in a very nice, not very nice, some plastic. He was there, and Brajahari was holding to the mule, and he was overtaking me, and I couldn't recognize that this is a devotee because it was all covered with plastic and it was raining. We could only see this maybe two meters, rain and fog. But Brajahari greeted me so affectionately, Hare Krishna. He also could not see that I was a devotee, because I think I was dressed in trousers, rain trousers, because it was really, water was coming down, like, you know, we were almost underwater. But we said Hare Krishna to each other, and then our sympathy was born on the pilgrimage. And then I met him only a few more times, and our relationship has had no time to really develop over time, because we only see each other and we say, how are you? And short words. But I know, if I would like to become the friend of Brajahari, I would have to spend extra time with him. Sit down, eat with him, talk about everything. Orisha, he wrote a very nice thing in Bhakti Vikash's book, some glimpse into his life. He comes from Orissa and had a very spiritual life before Krishna consciousness. I would ask him certain questions from this and spend extra time, and then a relationship could develop, which is very, most probably he wouldn't like me so much, because he would find out what a rascal I am and how uncultured. But this is the only way to develop a relationship. So with the holy name, you have to do the same. You have to spend extra time. If you want to develop a relationship to Krishna as a holy name, you have to sit down and make a relationship. Spend extra time. Or if you want to become more attached to Krishna, we must go to holy places like Sri Vrindavan Dham. Spend time reading about Krishna, visiting the holy places connected with Krishna, and then we will develop this extra feeling. Prabhupada therefore said, going to the holy Dham gives you the impetus. Impetus means the push, inner pushing, to go back home, back to Godhead. We must do such things. I think you all know what I mean. I think you all have your, you know, devotees, which you feel it would be nice if we would develop a closer relationship. And then, the only way is you have to spend extra time. Like I remember the time you spent with Radhanath Maharaj, you came, spent extra time, and so on. And it is very useful. And with with every devotee we should, I mean, with certain devotees we need to spend extra time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. This devotee, please tell me your name, Prabhuji. Vrakishma Pandit Prabhu. Vrakishma Pandit Prabhu is a great lover of Vrindavan. I remember last time I saw him, he was sitting on a little, you know, flat rickshaw, not a Padmasan rickshaw, you know, a little. And he was arranging some medicine maybe for some devotee in Radhapur. Yes? Hare Krishna. Alright, so we will end our class here. Thank you very, very much for attending. And don't forget, now when you get up, don't forget everything you heard. Most important thing, Gita Jayanti is today. Four instructions of Krishna are there, which you are supposed to follow if you want to open the heart of Lord Krishna and feel His mercy. If you have forgotten the four instructions, read in the Bhagavad Gita, it's 9, at the end of the 9th chapter and 18th chapter, text 64. And you must read the Gita today and if possible distribute the Gita. Don't forget, don't get up. And yes, now breakfast and the ordinary life starts. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Goni Chai ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.